How many of you have ever prayed before? Good time to raise your hand. That's good. That's good. You know, there's scriptures. There's a ton of scripture about prayer. And if I were to ask this room and go one by one, say, what does prayer mean to you? What does it mean to pray? I'd probably get a lot of different answers. And the scripture gives us some things that we hear and know, and it's hard to wrap our mind around. Luke 18 and 1, Jesus said, men ought always to pray. Well, that's a tall order. Always? Well, and so maybe he didn't really mean always. I mean, maybe he just meant you should have a schedule where you pray. But then if you go to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he made this statement. He said, pray without ceasing. Don't ever stop praying. That's what that's in plain English. Don't ever stop praying. So all of a sudden, we've got this order that can't be fulfilled, it would seem. Jesus said, I ought to always pray and not faint. And the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said, I should pray without ceasing. How in the world am I supposed to do that? Well, guess what? If you and I are trying to fulfill the Word of God in our humanity and in our flesh, we can't. If you've decided, I'm going to pray more, I'm going to give more hours, I'm going to put more time in, I'm going to put more energy in, I'm going to put more effort in, I'm going to put more, and your heart is noble and the desire is noble, but if you're trying to accomplish that in your own ability, you're going to wear yourself out. Anybody ever got worn out trying to pray more? Come on, Ray. You ever got worn out trying to pray more? Frustrated, praying. You ever had an all-night prayer meeting and it turned into a prayer, sleep, slumber prayer meeting? Amen. Done that. I was in an all-night prayer meeting one time and I heard the story. My pastor walked by somebody that was laying on the floor praying and they had ran out of things to pray for. And they were praying, Lord, touch my neighbor's cows in the pasture. I'm not sure what that was, but we will wear ourselves out if we try to pray in our own ability, in our flesh. Young people, make no mistake about it. If there's a calling on your life, and there is, your first and primary calling is a call to prayer. You have a call to ministry, the first is a call to prayer. He is calling you to a place of prayer. Prayer is not a duty. Prayer is not a task that we fulfill. Prayer is not something on our checklist that we do each day because I'm an apostolic or a Pentecostal, so oh yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. It may start there, but if it stays in that place of fulfillment of a duty, prayer will never be fulfilling to you. I would hear stories when I was younger of a Sister Vesta Mangan that would spend 8+ hours a day in prayer. And I would think, dear Lord, how is that possible? She must have a long list. I've come to learn she probably didn't have a list at all. And so the Lord has to change how we think about prayer to truly engage and involve us in prayer. How many of you want to pray? Raise your hand if you want to pray. The Lord knows that. Now, how many of you want to pray so it's not just saying you prayed, but praying so you can say, man, when I pray, something happens. Yeah. Anybody want that kind of prayer? When I pray, I can tell I've been with God and God has been with me. When I pray, something moves and shakes and I don't know why exactly, but when I enter into a closet of prayer, I feel heaven shift and worlds collide and I feel things happening in the Holy Ghost and in the Spirit of God and I recognize in my closet of prayer something is changing and I've been with God and it wasn't my own effort or ability. It wasn't my list. It was God moving in with me and something changed. If that's not what your prayer life feels like, that's what God wants it to be.
Yeah. That's true.
And that's what it can be if you'll follow the Word of God and the instruction of the Word of God in prayer. Isaiah 28 and 11. I don't know if this stuff is going up on the screen or not. I didn't give him anything ahead of time, so you just have to trust. You've heard this scripture before. Isaiah 28 and 11, the prophet Isaiah made this statement, speaking of the Lord. He said, "For with stammering lips and other tongue will he speak to his people." I have a question for you. When you pray, how much of it is you talking to God, and how much of it is God talking to you? And what's most important? You talking to him or him talking to you? How many of you have ever prayed and you feel like, man, I'm supposed to keep talking the whole time because that means I'm praying. I need to keep speaking. That means I'm praying. We have the promise of the word. You know, we've used this scripture in Isaiah to simply be of the foretelling of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But that's not the only thing the scripture was referencing. He said, will he speak to his people? Didn't say that's how he'll come to his people and fill them with his spirit. He said, with stammering lips and another tongue, will he speak to his people? And so if our prayer life is going to be one of God speaking to us, there's something shared with us by the prophet Isaiah that we understand when we begin to pray and we enter into a place of praying in the spirit and God begins to pray through us. There's something that can be happening in our spirit and our walk with God where he is speaking to us. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, you know this. Brother Michael Lindsay quoted it last night. We use it all the time. We should. It's a powerful verse of scripture. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to do what? What did they begin to do? Speak. They began to speak. And they began to speak with what? You know this, right? Other tongues. You've heard this before. But they spoke with other tongues as what? What was that? The Spirit gave the utterance. That literally means they began to speak as, and if you look in your Bible in Acts 2 and 4, that word Spirit is with a capital S. It's the very Spirit of God. They begin to speak as the Spirit of God gave them the words to speak. They did not speak their own words. They did not go through their predetermined list and ideas to lay them out there and convince God of something. What happened is they had been waiting on God, fellowshipping God. And as they were fellowshipping him, God was so engaged in their prayer. God was so interested in their pursuit of him that he said, you know what? In your humanity, you're never going to get where I want you to go in prayer. And so I want to do something in your life that you've been waiting for a promise. It's what I've been giving you, wanting to give you. I'm going to give you words that when you pray, you're no longer praying your own words. You're praying my words. They begin to speak. They did not speak their words. They spoke God words. And if you want to have something happen in your life of prayer, where prayer becomes more than a duty, and prayer becomes more than going through motions, and prayer becomes more than something on your calendar, but you enter into a closet and God himself begins to speak through your life, that's what prayer is supposed to be. The Holy Ghost is trying to provoke you, young person, and invite you into a place of prayer that is deep and abiding, where you accomplish great things in the earth as he prays through you. We've made prayer a list. If the beginning of a relationship with God is being born again, right? Birth, that's a good place of beginning, isn't it? We think of birth as a beginning. We know life begins in the womb, but we also understand there's a stage of life that begins at birth. So when we receive the baptism of the gift of the Holy Ghost, we are born again. We all agree with that, right? Nod your head, raise your hand, pat your neighbor if you agree with that. Yeah, when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, we are born again. Now, if our birth in Christ begins with Him speaking through us, shouldn't our life in Christ continue with Him speaking through us? Why would I expect that I would be born and the initial sign of my birth is the Spirit of God speaking through me, but then my life lived is one of me speaking and hoping that every once in a while I get freshly baptized again? Young person, if you're living that way, you're living beneath God's plan and purpose for you in prayer. The Lord birthed you by filling you with His Spirit and taking control of your vocal cords, and you yielded to Him. You yielded yourself to the Almighty God. And when you yielded yourself to Almighty God, He came and began to speak through you and I, this clay vessel, this earthen vessel, this fragile vessel. The Almighty God was willing to speak through you and me. Was He just wanting to do that once, Sam? Was He just interested in that so He could say you were now His? Oh no. Is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul writing said, "What? Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost?" If you are the temple of the living God, the indwelling God inside of you, how often does He want to speak out? But He doesn't. Not because He can't, but because I only yield to His spiritual utterance when I think I need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost. If He bought me with a price, then my prayer life, is it my prayer life? Or is it His? I want you to hear that again. Is your prayer life yours or is it His? Who determines when you pray? Do you decide when you pray? Or does He decide when you pray? That tells you whose prayer life it is. Oh, but Brother Hart, I have a set time every day. I bet God is that consistent and practical, and His Spirit, right? I read something about His Spirit blowing where it listeth, and you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. Oh, why don't we read that? John chapter 3, Nicodemus was asking a question. Jesus said, you got to be born again. And in verse number 6, Jesus said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the... Anybody know what it says? Flesh. That which is born of the flesh, what is it? Flesh. It's what? Flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Have a question for you. If my prayer life and your prayer life is born in the flesh, is it producing something spiritual? You say, man, Brother Hart, we're just young people. I know. And God is wanting to draft you into something so that when you leave today, you never pray the same again. If your prayer life is a prayer in the flesh, it will not produce a spiritual work. That's why you get frustrated. But I pray, I pray, I pray. And what you're praying is the desire of your flesh. Who decides when you pray? Do I believe you should have a time of prayer? Absolutely. But if you never let God draw you into His time of prayer, if He can't wake you in the middle of the night, if He can't stop you in the middle of the day and pull you aside, if He can't meet you at your desk, if He can't meet you while you're going about your duty on the job, if He can't pull you into a place of prayer right there, then you're saying, I control my prayer life. He doesn't. I've been sitting at my desk at work, working on work stuff, not being real spiritual. And the Spirit of God come into the office right there. And I feel the quickening of His Spirit. And I begin to pray in the Spirit as the Holy Ghost leads. Tears are pouring down my face. And I think, dear Lord, if somebody walks in right now, we got some explaining to do. But I don't belong to myself. My prayer life doesn't belong to me. Belongs to Him. And if I choose when I pray rather than Him, I'm saying, who's in control of my prayer? Is it any wonder that when Jesus' disciples said, teach us to pray, He said, when you pray, pray after this manner. He didn't say repeat these words. He said, pray after this manner, this pattern, this structure. You remember this, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then what's the first thing you pray? Thy kingdom come. That's not my kingdom. It's your kingdom. And if it's His kingdom that's coming, that means He's the king. He's in authority. He's in control. And guess what I pray when I'm praying thy kingdom come? I don't pray my kingdom. Well, but I want to see this and I want to see that. Well, but what does the king want to see? So the second question you have to ask yourself is, if it's His prayer life, and I'm simply a vessel that avails myself to Him because I want Him to speak through me, then who decides what I pray? Who decides what I pray? Do you? Do I? Over the heart, I got a lot of things that are weighing on my mind. I got a lot of, you know what the Bible says about that? It says that He knows what we have need of before we even ask. That means, okay, God, You know what I need. What do You need me to pray? You and I can fill so much time in prayer, praying for all of our things, that we never yield to the Spirit of God and allow Him to pray through us what He wants to pray. But if we'll learn, then that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And so when we begin to pray in the Spirit, guess what? Something is produced. Something begins to happen. Things begin to change. Lives begin to shift. Work of the Spirit begins to take place. You want a spiritual walk with God? Stop praying in the flesh trying to produce a spiritual walk. We must let Him. When we're born again, the initial evidence of speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of what our life is meant to be, a yielded vessel to the utterance of the Spirit of God. John 6 and 63, Jesus said this, it is the Spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. But then watch what He said. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But how's He speak to us? Well, Isaiah said He speaks to us with stammering lips and another tongue. Do I believe we should pray with understanding? Absolutely. Apostle Paul taught us so. Do I believe we should pray in the Spirit? Always. Always. You can pray in the with understanding and be praying in the Spirit. You ever said something to somebody and afterwards you were like, man, I don't know where that came from, but you know where it came from? You know what I'm talking about? Right? You're like, man, I was talking with my friend and I just, man, we were talking about the things of God and I said, I don't even know where it came from, but it was right. I felt it was right and whoa. And you're like, I don't even know where it came from, but really, you know, God put it in your spirit right then. And you, right? You know what I'm talking, raise your hand, wave your hand so I know your way. You know what I'm talking about, right? That's speaking with the understanding. You understood what you said. They understood what you said. But something happened in that exchange. And it wasn't some fleshly wisdom or something you produced in your human ability and your greatness and goodness, because none of us are good in and of ourselves. But it was the Spirit of God in you. And you yielded to the Spirit of God. And the Word of God spoke out of your mouth with understanding. And a quickening word went to your friend or that person sitting there or standing across from you. And that word that went out, it was spirit. And it was life, and it spoke to them. Where'd that come from? It came from the Spirit of God. Where is that birth? It's birthed in your closet of prayer. When your place in prayer is one in the Spirit, not one in the flesh fulfilling a duty, not one in the flesh completing a task, not one in the flesh saying, okay, I did it today. Somebody saw me. I can say I pray every day at least an hour. God forbid. Better to say I spent 15 minutes and it was all with God and I was fellowshipping Him and He was fellowshipping me. Give me 15 minutes with Him. Take your hour in the flesh fulfilling a duty and we'll accomplish more God and I than any time spent in the flesh. Yes. He's trying to draw you and He wants to use you this way. Some of you sitting here, you feel so much pressure because you feel this. I know I'm supposed to pray, but I just don't know what to pray about. And I try, and so I get my time, and I pray about everything I know, and I feel like I've been praying a long time, and it's been 15 minutes. Anybody ever done that? Two of us. I've done that too. You know what I'm talking about, right? You're like, how do these people pray? The Lord's saying, I have something for you. It's called prayer. But it's different than what you thought. It's me praying through you. How often does He want to do this? Every day of your life. Men ought always to pray. Pray without ceasing. Now watch. John 15 and 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words, everybody say my words. My words. Guess what? That's not your words. Jesus was talking. He said, if you abide in me and my words, his words, abide in you, then watch what's going to happen. You shall ask what you will. And it'll be done. That's prayer. Brother Tony Bailey, he's made a lot of statements I'll never forget. But he made this statement one time. He said, prayer is not powerful. Answered prayer is powerful. You ever pray and you knew, man, something happened when I prayed. I felt it. And then you saw the result of prayer. I'll never forget years ago on a Saturday night prayer meeting in Puyallup. There was a handful of us there in the church on Saturday night, informal prayer meeting. We were praying. There was a lady that was sick, had sickness in her liver. She was bloating and growing. Her liver had stopped functioning. She was going to die. We were just there praying. I was knelt down in a little pew talking to God about it. And I was doing all my stuff. Oh God, please heal her. Do a word, God. You know, you've pleaded with God because God doesn't want to heal people. Oh God, please God. Can you imagine God putting those words in you? Please, God. So I was doing that. I was begging God. And the Lord said, why don't you just ask me to give her a new liver? Well, that was a new concept to me. And so this is how powerfully sounding my prayer was. Okay, Lord, I'm asking you to give her a new liver in Jesus' name. He said, okay. That was it. I mean, I felt the witness of his spirit. But I mean, I didn't jump up and shout and run across and scream and holler and whoa! There was none of that. I just knew he had put that word in my spirit. And he was just asking me to be a vessel that would speak it out. The Lord began that moment to heal that woman. He gave her a new liver. We know because just a few weeks later, she was getting a follow-up because she had miraculously healed and changed. And the doctors were doing a follow-up. And they were looking at her chart. And the doctor said, your chart's not right. Something's wrong here. She's like, what do you mean? He says, well, it says here you've had hepatitis B. She said, oh, yeah. And she sort of dropped her head a little bit in shame as she told the story. She said, it's true. I was on drugs and me and my brother shared a needle and I got hepatitis B through this needle. And he goes, that's not possible. That's not possible. She goes, no, really, it's true. And she was saddened by, you know, a little bit that her past that way. And the doctor said, it can't be. It's not true. It can't be. You couldn't have had hepatitis B. And she said, doctor, I did. She was starting to get a little argumentative. He was trying to convince her otherwise. And he said, it's just not possible. She said, why is it not possible? He said, well, because even once you've had hepatitis B, even after the fact, we can always tell medically because it leaves a signature in your body. And so we can always tell when someone's had hepatitis B. She said, okay. He said, well, the signature's on your liver, so we can see on your liver that you would have had hepatitis B, and there's no signature on your liver that you've ever had hepatitis B. She jumped off the bed in the hospital. She said, oh, because I got a new liver. And the doctor said, oh, well, that makes sense then. Now I understand you had a liver transplant. She said, no, God gave me a new liver. Yeah. Why would the Lord cause her to see that? Because he wanted her to know what I did fully the way I told you I wanted to do it. And when I said to someone, speak for a new liver, I didn't mean to just touch the one you got. I mean, I'm the creator of all things. I spoke nothing into something. And if I want to put a new liver in a body I created, I can do it. If I'll find a vessel that will speak the words that I want them to speak. If my words abide in you, you will ask what you will. Notice the transition that Jesus makes in that scripture. If my words, his words, abide in us, he says, you will ask and I will. You will ask and I will. Romans 8, I'm going to hurry up and finish here. The writer said, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. That word infirmities doesn't just mean like, I'm sick and I got an infirmity. That word infirmity speaks of our human inabilities. Our human inabilities. You ever felt incapable in your humanity? Raise your hand. Yeah, every day that I live. Guess what? The Lord is always going to keep you at a place where you understand your inability. He's trying to protect you and I from ourselves. So the Spirit helps our infirmities, our human inability. Why? For we know not. We don't know what we should pray for. See, in my new, we think we do, but we don't. But he doesn't leave us there. He says, the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts, he knows what is the mind of the Spirit. How does he know the mind of the Spirit? Oh, because he makes intercession for the saints. How does he pray? Read the rest of the verse. According to the will of God. Every person under the sound of my voice this morning, the Lord desires us to walk and live in this place of prayer. And if we'll yield ourselves and say, I don't belong to myself, I belong to you. My prayer life is not mine, it's your prayer life. I'm the vessel, you pray. You ever felt like you don't know how to pray? Raise your hand if you've ever felt like you don't know how to pray. Yeah. Do you think he knows how to pray? I think so. Why don't you stand with me? We got about 3 minutes left here. And the Lord is wanting to impart into your spirit so that you can walk out of here today. And when you go to your closet of prayer, he can confirm his word to you. If you'll yield yourself and say, okay, God, I heard the word. I bore witness in my spirit. I don't want to pray the way I've prayed any longer. I want to pray according to what I heard, what was quickened in my spirit by the word of God. Would you begin to reach to him right now? Say, God, I'm willing to receive. Come on, let words flow out of your spirit. Come on, this is the personal development part of the lesson. Not my will, but yours be done. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I pray the quickening word of God in the heart of these young people. I pray the beckoning of the Spirit of God in a closet of prayer. Let your authority and your utterance be manifest to and through them for the glory of God. Ito robo si ayamaha, limo si riedele bekia, ne lobo koria tahaye. Okay. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You need to say that or you need me to tell you? Yes, sir.